Welcome to another episode of Army Real Talk, a segment of AUSA's Army Matters podcast. I am Nzinga Curry, Director of AUSA's Education and Programs Directorate, and I am joined with my co-host, Lieutenant Colonel Brittany Lloyd, AUSA's Army Fellow. Today, we welcome Colonel Christine Henry, Commander of Task Force 291 of the Maryland Army National Guard, and we are excited to have her join us today. Wouldn't you agree, Lieutenant Colonel Lloyd?
Thank you, Mrs. Curry. As always, it's a pleasure to co-host the Army Real Talk. I'm looking forward to today's podcast with special guest Colonel Henry to talk about her experience with the Army National Guard, cyber operations, and programs. Welcome, ma'am.
Thank you, Mrs. Curry and Lieutenant Colonel Lloyd. I am so honored to be here today representing the Maryland Army National Guard.
Colonel Henry, please provide us with a brief introduction, sharing a little bit about yourself to our listening audience.
I have been in the Maryland National Guard for over 20 years. I am both information operations qualified and cyber qualified. Really, I was doing cyber underneath the information operations umbrella for years before the new 17 series, the cyber warfare branch, became its own. I've commanded at every rank. As a lieutenant, I commanded a signal detachment, moved into my company command time, Charlie Company, 129th Signal Battalion, underneath the 29th Infantry Division. Following that, I commanded at the 04 level, major level. I commanded a mobile public affairs detachment, an MPAD. In those days, I went with the MPAD. I took the MPAD down to New Orleans during the Katrina response, working with global media outlets throughout that time period. It was a tough time. Following that MPAD command, I ended up taking command of the Information Operations Battalion in the state after following a deployment to Afghanistan. I worked there underneath a specialized joint task force, actually doing IO. My career path has not been traditional by any means, but it has set me up in a position today to uniquely lead the units within Maryland of Task Force 291.
Very, very impressive. And I must say, as a Marylander, I welcome you with pleasure. So my first question for you is asking you to share a little bit about what you do specifically within the Maryland National Guard and Task Force 291.
Sure. I am the commander of Task Force 291. It is one of four major subordinate commands within the Maryland Army National Guard. My soldiers of this unit within the task force are on the cutting edge, really trailblazers of innovation in fields like technology, intelligence, information, and of course, cyber operations. So probably of most interest for this audience are two units that are under my task force, the 110th Information Operations Battalion, the one I actually previously commanded, and also we have a cyber protection team, the 169 Cyber Protection Team. My task force provides command and control for many units, not just the IO and cyber units. We have a liaison unit, intel, signal, special operations, and special forces units. In fact, these types of units are not necessarily new to us. We've had signal and intel elements within the 29th Infantry Division for years. 29th Infantry Division is well known for their role played historically in D-Day. You can often recognize them in the National Capital Region, folks wearing the blue and the gray, the yin and the yang patch. So the DIVDETs, as we refer to them, we do have these detachments from the division within the intel and signal specialties. They actually all fall under Task Force 291.
So Colonel Henry, I must ask, why Task Force 291?
It was actually established because our main brigade, our MI brigade, we have in our state an Expeditionary Military Intelligence Brigade, the 58th EMIB, are actually deployed to the Middle East, where they are now. The 58th EMIB organic units are focused mostly on counter-intel missions, including capabilities such as processing, exploiting, disseminating intelligence. But back home, while they're doing their mission downrange, my Sergeant Major, Sergeant Major Pat Metzger and I, we've been charged with maintaining momentum for this EMIB and all of its Maryland subordinate units while it's deployed. So as a command team, we command and guide these units in sustaining not just their federal missions, but we also have a focus, unity of effort for these units underneath the state Maryland mission and also establishing overall visions for the future. What is really great about Maryland, under our federal missions, these units, they're not typically aligned together. the state of Maryland is in the unique position to actually put them together. So Maryland leadership overall has recognized the benefit of aligning cyber, signal, information operations, intel, some of the special operations pieces, aligning all those capabilities underneath this task force. These units relate to each other sort of underneath an information umbrella. One of the goals really to empower their synergies so that when they are on the battlefield, these units and capabilities already know how to work together.
Ma'am, as the commander of Task Force 291 in the Maryland National Guard, you provide support both to the state and the federal government. Can you kind of explain the difference between the two?
Each one of our units in the task force has a federal and a state mission. So I've talked a little bit about the federal, but really don't want to forget about the state mission either. Five of my eight direct report units are currently mobilized right now on the federal mission around the world. A couple of the others that are back here now are preparing to deploy soon. But then kind of moving to our state mission, at any time, we have to be ready to also support the state of Maryland. Just to highlight a recent example, as we're living in the time of COVID, most recently during the COVID response, every unit in my task force provided soldiers toward our state mission at the direction of Governor Hogan, who is our Maryland Commander-in-Chief for when we're in that type of role. We provided liaison officers, medical screening to the Maryland state and local governments. Internally to our state headquarters, we provided staff augmentation. And then, of course, we actually had Maryland stood up a joint task force cyber, which is pretty unique. We provided some cyber expertise towards that joint task force cyber along with our Maryland Air Guard. So for us in Maryland, it really is not just about the highest level of readiness and preparing units for their mobilization, but it is also about providing reach-back support for deployed units. And really, it's about people, making sure soldiers come back home safely, to their families, to their civilian jobs, you know, all at the same time while we have people and we are ready to support any state emergencies that may arise.
That's a whole lot and very extensive, and it sounds like your team's doing a lot of great things, not only for the state, but also the federal support. Ma'am, you mentioned both your cyber protection team and your information operations battalion. Can you elaborate a little bit more on how they support and integrate across your task force?
Yeah, thank you. We are so proud of these Maryland units and what they're doing now and what they have done in the past. Maryland is a bit unique from other states in that we actually have both of these units already and that they're already working together underneath this command. Units like the 110th IO Battalion or Information Operations Battalion, they've been experimenting with cyber really before it was called cyber, not only for their federal mission in partnership with Washington State National Guard. That's where their main federal headquarters is for their federal mission, but also for their state mission, working directly for Governor Hogan, as we kind of talked about earlier. I did want to highlight a little bit about this joint task force cyber that was more of our state mission recently. 6 to 9 months ago now, we provided soldiers towards this joint task force cyber. And the mission for that was really to help the Maryland Department of Information Technology in their mission to protect state communication assets. So, you know, important assets to the governor for communication and the state agencies within Maryland. Pretty exciting time to be able to support the state in that context. Simultaneously, for their federal mission, we have two teams currently mobilized, two different missions. So my first IO team that's led by Major Leslie Dowdle, an amazing officer, she is actually currently mobilized to the Horn of Africa. Their job there is really focused on integrating capabilities, synchronizing different capabilities, such as civil affairs, capabilities like psychological operations and electronic warfare of most interest to Army Cyber. And it really, they're focused in that area of the world. They're dealing with information being used as a weapon on a daily basis. They look at networks of people and organizations. Pretty important mission. Historically, we've had teams rotating in and out of Djibouti for this particular mission for the past 10 years or so. So we've been able to also keep continuity in that region specific to information operations. The second IO team I'd love to highlight is led by a tremendously brilliant Major John Rodriguez. He took his team and deployed the Cyber Command right at Fort Meade, so a little bit closer to home. But it was the first National Guard Information Operations team to actually integrate into that combatant command, putting IO practitioners side by side with their cyber counterparts. information operations here in this particular context has been about integrating, synchronizing capabilities across domains, multiple domains, so that they're able to create greater effects as opposed to just using cyber or just using one of those information capabilities at a time. It's how to mass those effects together. They're doing amazing work. And then kind of moving back to the cyber side of things, more specifically with our cyber protection team, we have the 169 cyber protection team stacked with technical leaders like Chief Warrant Officer James Stahecki. I could name a dozen others. For their federal mission, these technical leaders, they work to defend technical networks. In this case, this unit currently is deployed also to Fort Meade, but in a different mission set than the IO battalion. They're partnering with the Virginia National Guard, and they are assigned underneath an Army task force. We like to refer to them as sort of an elite cyber protection team for various reasons, but they are all full-time guardsmen, which also makes them a little unique. Many of the folks that are currently on our cyber protection team stood up their original mission that they are working for now on the federal side. So 5 or 6 years ago, they were part of the original mission that stood this up as it stands today, or kind of leading it into where it stands today. So anyway, lots of examples, but as you can see, I get a little excited about the Maryland National Guard, the Army National Guard in Maryland. We have done a lot and we look forward to continue contributing in these domains.
Excellent. And I love the excitement. Cyber operations is intriguing all in itself. And I had opportunity to hear another podcast recently where General Hamm interviewed Lieutenant General Fogarty, and they discussed the new developments in Cyber Command and how they are celebrating its 10-year anniversary. Well, from your perspective, I would love to know, what do you think about the changes or what has changed and what has been more impactful as well as exciting in that area?
Yeah, so interestingly enough, the 17 series branch, it's been around now for a few years, but it had its roots in the signal branch and the intelligence field. And so it's pretty interesting to see all of that coming together within Army Cyber Command. It's been pretty exciting to watch how Army Cyber is officially bringing information operations underneath their umbrella. So they started a few years ago by bringing electronic warfare in with cyber. I mean, we've seen a lot of positive movement there. And now the information operations piece is being rolled underneath Army Cyber as well. In the Maryland National Guard, with the type of units that we have, and in particular with the Task Force 291, this is very much along the lines of what we've been looking for and planning for. From a practical perspective, we've done that on the state side for many years. And we're very excited to see it become more formalized as we all work together, components, the Army Reserve, the Guard, Active Force, all come together, reinvigorating the concept of information advantage. And really, it's about how do we work towards that information advantage over our adversaries together holistically.
Ma'am, thank you for that. One of the other things that General Fogarty mentioned was the critical role the National Guard and the Army Reserve plays in the current and future roles, not only in cyber warfare, but military intelligence, information operations. Can you share how your team supports and integrates with the active force?
It is so important to talk about how each component brings different strengths to the total force. For the National Guard, and quite frankly, for the Maryland National Guard in particular, I can think of about three strengths that really help integrate with the total force and really help make the total force stronger. First, you know, each one of our units has that federal mission, and it really is the crux of our integration with the active force. In some of the cases I've kind of already talked about, I can highlight, you know, under our cyber's mission focus, which is really operate, defend, attack, and influence in the cyber domain and information environment, we're kind of doing that. Maryland National Guard is doing that with Army Cyber as we speak, or Army Cyber Unit. The 169 CPT is currently mobilized. They actually fall under the 780th Military Intelligence Brigade. And then the 110th IO Battalion does fall under more of a joint command with Cyber Command, but it's very, very interconnected. All the training and partnering that we do as we're training towards our federal missions really take into account the type of units that we'll be assigned to. And that's a real, really big piece of integration in with the active force. Secondly, I think more from a training perspective, really highlighting our exercise integration. For years, our units have worked on exercises, not just with the active Army, but also with the Army Reserve units. Maryland National Guard, in particular, has played several different roles in exercises like Cyber Guard, Cyber Flag, and even one year, we had a role in Cyber Blitz, working more with U.S. Army Pacific, and then the 169 CPT, some of the rear detachment from our CPT, or Cyber Protection Team, participated in Cyber Shield this year as Op 4, and Cyber Shield is more run by the Guard side of the house, but has active component integration and reserve component integration. Our part in that was led by a really experienced lieutenant, Lieutenant Clarence Noel, who did a great job integrating with all those components. So I guess to kind of go back and answer the question on total force integration, we deploy with the active force. We talked about sort of the training exercise integration piece. And then I guess the third is really partnering with different units on the active side is really important. We do have some ongoing partnering and sharing with our active duty counterparts. We actually had members of the Asymmetric Warfare Group and a couple other active units that came to one of our symposiums that we held on the Maryland side. And then we actually sent some Maryland Guardsmen to our cyber RAN, some information warfare working groups early on when they were looking at some of the doctrine changes. So, you know, we were part of that discussion and able to give input into those changes. And I guess in that context, I need to plug one of our cybers units, our Army cybers unit that we have worked a lot with is First IO Command. So Army's First Information Operations Command is more of a peer organization for us, but it has been an amazing resource as we prepare actually for both of our federal and state missions, and not just in the IO world, but a lot of cyber resources and a lot of cyber training as well. So to sum it up, all three components coming together, working toward sort of a goal, and the National Guard, and in particular, I can speak for the Maryland Army National Guard side of the house. It's really important for us to make sure that we're integrated in that total force.
Ma'am, that's very interesting. So you just mentioned cyber training and your partnership with the active duty members. And to kind of continue with that concept, many of your professionals within your unit in the National Guard hold key information and cyber positions within their civilian organizations. You are an expert in your field at Johns Hopkins University. Can you tell us a little bit about what you do and how that might complement being a cyber officer in the Army?
I am a cyber operations engineer at the Johns Hopkins University Applied Physics Lab on my civilian job. We often refer to that as APL. You'll hear that in the business. For APL, I do a lot of research and analysis on some of these same topics, cyber in particular, and just thinking about capabilities the U.S. employs in and through the cyber domain, but how that connects in more so holistically with the information environment. A lot of what we do is pushing ahead, so we try to really look 5 to 10 years from now, you know, what is the new battlefield, maybe beyond cyber, or what haven't we looked at yet? And so I do a lot of thinking about what will be the next challenge in this space or beyond cyber and information warfare? But this obviously does connect back to what I do in the Maryland Guard. In this way, I really am no different than many of our other citizen soldiers. Without going into too many specifics for different issues, I can just highlight we have soldiers in our ranks that have, I don't want to say way more impressive civilian careers than me, but quite impressive civilian careers that really complement the Guard roles nicely. And each one kind of can easily feed off each other. I think it works both ways to where civilian careers can help some of the things we do in the Guard, but vice versa. Some of the things we do in the Guard really help understand what we're doing in our civilian careers sometimes or give us a little boost. In particular, some units that are under me now, we have SANS instructors, which is a highly credible organization in the field. We have employees at many intelligence community agencies. The Defense Intelligence Agency, DIA, comes to mind. Right off the bat, you know, we have many other kind of three-letter agencies living in the National Capital Region, being close to the National Capital Region. It's a natural fit. But we also have personnel working right at Cyber Command on their civilian jobs. You know, so we may have people deployed there, but we also have folks there in their civilian careers. We have folks that I mentioned First IO Command earlier. I have somebody working there. Other related are cyber, Army cyber units as well. And then even looking broader than that, other federal agencies sort of beyond the intel community. We have folks that work at the State Department. And then really thinking about even at our state level in Maryland, our state agencies, we have folks kind of spread throughout some of the state agencies. And then looking at the private sector, I can think of a couple folks in our ranks that own their own companies, let's say penetration testing companies, other civilian IT, information technology related companies that kind of relate back to cyber. Pretty fascinating stuff between the two, how that plays between both our careers. I talked a little bit about the location, but just to highlight, being in the Maryland National Guard, we really are in sort of a favored location for this cyber battlefield that we're looking at. Because we do sit in the backyard, really, of Cyber Command and the National Security Agency, I think many of my soldiers kind of bring skill sets that are a little bit more forward thinking. They come already sometimes with things like security clearances, very mature, working on very hard problem skill sets in their civilian jobs that really do tie back to what we do. And then I just want to highlight for a cyber warrior, really, the Maryland Army National Guard is also a very good state to look at as far as career progression. So the fact that we have some of these related units together in Maryland has really allowed us to work on a really good career management program between some of these related specialties, but may have different career paths set. So between the MI Brigade and then the cyber team and your information operations battalion, and we have a couple others, MI Brigade is actually going to be growing some cyber and electronic warfare capabilities. So we're really looking forward to seeing how that can also just add and boost those connections. We look at it not just for training, but these real world missions. And I would say it's not perfect right now. I think we're really in the process of looking and working with stakeholders throughout the different communities and the different fields to create more of a cohesive strategy so that we can actually maintain a pipeline within the specialty instead of it being so single-minded. We're trying to look at creative ways to help the communities bridge some of those gaps and be able to use people's skill sets across the board and not just solely focused on one particular career set, but being able to spread that out a little bit so that it offers soldiers much more career progression for getting promoted and that sort of thing.
Excellent. Wonderful, wonderful discussion, wonderful information. I am just really tickled on how much information you were able to bring to us during this segment. I really appreciate you taking this time, Colonel Henry. But before we conclude, I want to make sure there isn't anything that you would like to touch on before we close out.
Well, first of all, I am so honored to have the opportunity to serve in the Army. Really, the Army is so important to me. I've been so honored to serve in the Maryland National Guard, and specifically the Maryland Army National Guard. I look to serve the soldiers that I work with. I'm grateful to be in a position right now where I can help shape cyber and information strategy for the Army, the National Guard, and the state of Maryland, quite frankly. But one of my goals and how I look at it is I really need to groom and grow those underneath me so that we have not just people ready to kind of take over as I grow up and out, but looking at really prioritizing and empowering the viewpoints of the younger generation. So one of my goals really is to groom those behind me to take over. And really, I encourage listeners, I think, to even consider opportunities that exist in these fields. Maintaining our edge on our end means that we're constantly looking and growing and evolving and really looking for talented people to join our ranks in the Maryland Army National Guard and help us in this fight. We encourage diversity of thought to solve problems across all ranks. We need new ideas, we need energy. It's really an exciting place to be in the Maryland National Guard. If I could share my motto with you, we have our task force motto. I'm sure you've heard many different unit mottos, but I think ours is quite appropriate today in the world we're living in right now as we're in kind of this early November in the year 2020. And my motto is order from chaos. So hopefully you can appreciate that, order from chaos.
Absolutely love it. Love it. Perfect ending. Thank you again for taking some time out of your schedule to speak with us and share with our listening audience.
To all our listeners, thanks for joining us. Be sure to subscribe to the Army Matters podcast on iTunes and everywhere podcasts are found. The Army Matters podcast series is brought to you by the Association of the United States Army, the U.S. Army's professional association, member-supported, Army-connected. Visit us at AUSA.org for more information or to become a member. Your membership helps AUSA continue to carry out its mission to educate, inform, and connect with the total Army, our industry partners, and our supporters of a strong national defense. For questions or to provide topic recommendations, email us at podcast@AUSA.org. Have a great Army Day. Pua.